Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This is Here and Now, and the news just keeps getting worse for Puerto Rico. The U.S. territory just had its bond rating downgraded to junk status by two of the three big rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, which means the government in Puerto Rico is going to have to cut spending even further to avoid default. The problems there have the potential to ripple through the U.S. bond market, with 70% of U.S. municipal funds holding some Puerto Rican debt. Carlos Rivas is director of the Office of Management and Budget for Puerto Rico. He's with us on the line from San Juan. And Carlos, how big of a problem is a downgrade?
Well, we have been preparing for this downgrade for a while, and we have been executing our plan in terms of balancing the budget, reforming public corporations, and resolving the pension system deficits. And so we were prepared for the downgrade, and we are continuing forward with financing alternatives.
But when you get downgraded, of course, as you know, sometimes things happen that you weren't preparing for, and that includes mutual funds who can't invest in junk-rated bonds having to drop you from their portfolios.
Yes. Well, the 2 points. Number one, the market we were already trading at not investment-grade levels, and so that was actually already priced into our bonds. As I understand, our bonds actually traded a little bit better the day after the downgrade than the day before the downgrade. That's 1 point. And secondly, while it's true that some mutual funds or many mutual funds cannot buy non-investment-grade securities, it is also true that that some of them are, or many of them are allowed to hold them and do not necessarily have to sell them upon a downgrade. There's a significant investment community, alternative investment, hedge funds, and banking community that has shown interest in providing financing alternatives to Puerto Rico as well. So we do have financing options that we are considering right now as we move forward.
Now, the White House has indicated that it's not really considering a bailout at this point. Do you think that that might change? Are you still trying to convince Washington that it makes sense to give Puerto Rico a lifeline here?
Well, there is excellent communication at a very high level, both with the White House and the Treasury Department, and they're very up to date and up to speed on what's happening here and what our plans are. But we don't right now. We're not looking at a bailout per se, or a loan, or any kind of structure. And they have been clear on that, that they have to be consistent in their approach to different jurisdictions.
But some people here on the mainland may be surprised that Puerto Rico is in such trouble when the economy here has been rebounding from the crash for many years. Why is Puerto Rico in such debt right now?
Well, I think that there are two reasons. Number one, our economy has been shrinking consistently since 2006, and so the economy has shrunk around 15%. And that obviously makes it very hard to swim against the current fiscally, so to speak. And secondly, there have been decisions made in the past that have not been the most fiscally responsible decisions, particularly the financing of the operating deficits over the past few years. So we are at a point where the debt burden is significant, and we got ourselves into this situation. We've been working hard since January of last year in the change of administration to get out of the situation, and we will continue on the plan to do so.
There's also, and it's been reported about widely, this mass exodus of people from Puerto Rico. Why are so many people fleeing?
Well, we have had some migration, and it is up to Florida in particular, also to the Northeast, people seeking better employment opportunities. And that is precisely why we need to restart economic growth, and why the governor is working so hard to do so, to get those people to stay in Puerto Rico. People love being here. They love being living here. They're very committed to Puerto Rico. And we as a government have to make sure that all the opportunities are there for people to have their livelihood and their employment.
Carlos Rivas, Director of the Office of Management and Budget for Puerto Rico, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So that's the government's take. Let's get a journalist's take now with Javier Maimi of the Spanish-language newspaper Centro Tampa in Tampa, Florida. Javier, let's start with what Mr. Rivas just said about people fleeing the island, because you left Puerto Rico yourself for economic reasons.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. First of all, good afternoon. Yeah, that's it for... middle-class Puerto Ricans, it becomes extremely difficult. It's not a question of living in Puerto Rico. It's more like surviving in Puerto Rico. And as economic opportunities shrink, obviously in search of better opportunities, better pay, better future, we look towards the U.S. because we have that ability to do that.
Well, could the government in Puerto Rico do anything to get people to stop fleeing, though? Because obviously it's causing a big problem for the economic future of Puerto Rico.
Well, the thing is, this is like a four-pronged problem in Puerto Rico that, you know, it basically begins with quality of life because of the economic situation. And quite frankly, it's not new. This has been going on for over a decade, how, you know, the recession started in 2006, but as early as the year 2000, you could see the downturn coming as different companies started closing and closing and closing, and crime began rising and rising. So it just became, in my case in particular, it became a question of, you know, a personal decision, and I saw a better future in the United States than I did staying in Puerto Rico.
Now, Puerto Rico, as you know, is a territory of the U.S. There's been a long debate going on about whether it should stay a territory or become a state or gain independence. Back in August of 2012, there was a vote there, a non-binding referendum for statehood. Then Congress would have to do something about it. They haven't. Would statehood help Puerto Rico in this case?
Well, I don't know if either statehood or independence would help. It would put Puerto Rico in a better legal leverage position. I heard you just ask Mr. Rivas about a Washington bailout. Washington's not in a position to do that because they can't legally do it.
What do you mean they can't legally do it?
Because Puerto Rico as a territory cannot be bailed out. It's not like a state. Right? It's not like a sovereign nation. So in this particular situation, Puerto Rico cannot get a bailout from Washington because there's no legal – it wouldn't be within the Constitution because Puerto Rico is a non-incorporated territory.
So do you think Puerto Rico will become a state?
Do I think Puerto Rico become – you know, it's always been my belief that we'd be better off as a state. I don't know if that's going to be eventually what's going to be the final resolution to this. I don't know. You know, Congress has been sitting back on this for decades now and hasn't acted. So, you know, I really don't know what the end it's going to be. I surely would hope that Puerto Rico becomes a state, but a lot of stars need to get aligned in that direction.
Javier Maimi of the Spanish language newspaper Centro Tempa. Thanks so much for joining us, Javier.
Thank you, Jeremy.
This is Here and Now.